Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. Yes, we are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching and preaching and reaching the lost souls for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are here Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or till when the Holy Spirit allow us to close down. And on Saturdays, we come on at 12 o'clock, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. or when the Holy Spirit closes out. We are excited and we are delighted because the Lord Jesus, our Savior, has kept us in the land of the living. You know, we are still in the land of the living, even though we are going through so much, He has still kept us. Hallelujah. And that's more than enough to praise His holy name. More than enough to praise Him. We're going to worship. Father, we thank You. We praise You. Father, we glorify Your name. Father, we honor You with everything that's with us. We ask You, O God, to have mercy. Have mercy on this. Have mercy on this here church line this morning. We ask that You touch somebody. We pray this morning that You touch someone in a miraculous way, O God, that they know that You are God, O God, that they know that You are Savior. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We are going to go into worship now for a little bit. Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We bless You, Lord. We bless You.
I'm
Thank you. promises built in. We are here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. We praise you. Oh God, we magnify your name. Thank you for another glorious day. Cool outside, but the sun is shining. It's warm on the inside. Thank you for the Spirit of God this morning, oh God, that is with us, in us, and through us, oh God. We just pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to speak as we listen. Jesus. We honor you this morning. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father of creation, we invite your presence even now, Lord. Lord, we know that you're here, but we invite you anyway because we want you to know that we desire you. We love you. And we love your presence. Oh, God, we ask you to have your way in this service as always. Do to us what only you can do. We pray for healing all over our nation, Lord. There's so much going on right now. So we pray for healing. And we ask you, O God, to touch all those in government, O God, those in authority right now. Lord, for the world is going upside down. Satan is coming like a flood. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that's lifting up a standard for the people of God. We ask, O God, that you dispatch your angels this morning to be in our midst this morning, O God, and that they would have their way, O God, as you give them the assignment, O God, to protect your children in this Holy Week. We pray for salvation to manifest all over the world, that preachers, preachers would not only preach a word that sounds good or make the people say hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord, but preachers would preach a word that would cause the people to want to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're talking about today. I believe this is the word that the Lord wants me to release today. I had something else in mind that I want to put out, but you know, how do you know that it's not about what I want to release, but what he wants to release. And we want to talk today about the light of the church cannot be hidden. Okay. We are in. For some reason, the computer was saying that I was on, but it wasn't showing on the computer, so I had to hang up and call back in. And we're talking about the light of the church cannot be hidden. The light of the church, the true light of the church, cannot be hidden. The light of the church is Jesus. Understand this. The light of the church is Jesus. And you can't hide him. It doesn't matter what's going on, how people are acting up, it cannot be hidden. Jesus cannot be hidden. Yeah, my phone is going all crazy. Hallelujah. I guess the person don't want to hear anything with the Lord, so that's why I answer them, because they're breaking into my service right now. We're talking about the light of the church cannot be hidden. So let's go in and let's bring up one scripture that I just pulled up just now. It's our John chapter 1. The light of the church cannot be hidden. And here, this is what he said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with John. The Word was with God, excuse me. This is John chapter 1. This is what the Holy Spirit wanted to announce. That's how he put it there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hear what he's saying. In him was life, L-I-F-E. And the life was the light of man. See? The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Light. Darkness did not understand, could not deal with the light of God. The light of God is powerful. See, Jesus says, as long as he's in the world, the light is here. But when he left, he gave the light to his disciples. We that call upon his name in repentance, we that call on his name and honoring him, living for him, we carry in the same light. This same light is in us. This is why when we come together, there's so much joy, there's so much peace when we truly come together in his name, because the light is magnified. Hallelujah. And he says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light, lighteth every man. Hear that. The true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You have this light inside of you. Once you understand this, when I came in yesterday from church, I laid upon the bed and I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, give me a word for today. And the Lord says, the light of the church cannot be hidden. He's not talking about the church of men. He's talking about the church of Jesus Christ, the church of the Lord. The light cannot be hidden. See, the light of Christ lights us up. That's why when people, you know, somebody just called me from somewhere in Rhode Island or somewhere. Just call me. I know the area code 401. And I call the Lord. I call upon the Lord's name, okay? They if they call my number, that means they knew my number. They want to say something, but don't say something. You understand? So sometimes you have to, even when people, if you know who the person is that call or don't call, sometimes you just got to say, Jesus, just thank you, Lord. Just open the phone and you'll see that spirit will leave because it can't handle that spirit. Now let's go over to Matthew. Let's go over to Matthew. I just pull up this other computer here. Let's go over to Matthew. Let's go over here. Glory to God. The enemy just claimed that he wants to prove this today. But Jesus, have mercy on us today. Have mercy on us today. As always, God, allow us to hear from you. We only want to hear what you're saying. Matthew chapter 13, we are talking about this awesome light of God, which is in his church. In his church. Hallelujah. You are glowing. He said, a light underneath the bushel, underneath the bed. No one can see it. Nobody puts a light underneath the bed. You might even start a fire, but they put it on the hill, on the mountaintop, but everybody can see it. Oh, let me just go. I just had some batteries. I was doing some things with these batteries. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Give me a minute. Quick, fast, and I would. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. I've run an experiment here on something that I saw, and I run this experiment. This is how I learn stuff. We're going to get into Word. Just give me a quick minute here as I put these batteries and cool them down. See, you learn stuff, but if you don't put what you learn in action, it's just laying dormant. You understand? I was watching some scientists this morning, and they were doing some things with absolutely dead batteries. And I said, wait, this is crazy. And the lady scientist said, you should never buy batteries. We're getting back into the Word, okay, in a second. Give me a second. And the lady scientist said, just take the batteries, put them in a pan, a saucepan or something, and put them on the stove for a minute or two. And she says, you put them in water, hot water, you know, let the water boil for about a minute or two. And then you take them out and you put them in cold water to cool them down. She says, the battery will come alive 100%. Well, I know she was telling the truth because I watched the battery saying 0000 on the meter. But after she put it on the stove in the pan And she boiled the batteries for like a minute and a half. And then she took them off and put them in a pan. And in the pan, she added some ice cubes because she wants to cool them down to lock the energy back in the batteries. When she put them back in the equipment registered 100%. I said, wow, this is powerful. Now, here in the book of Matthew, let's go into the word. I just had to get them because I had them on the stove boiling. And I didn't want the water to boil to cause a fire. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Let's see if we can start at verse 44 or a little further up. Oh, the Spirit shows us. Well, let's start. Yeah, let's start at start at verse 44. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Now, the reason why I put this scripture in is that to show you how important the light of God is, we shall want to do everything in our power, everything that's within us, to take care of this light. Now you are saved and sanctified. You are saved and you are sanctified. You tell me that you are. My phone went out again. I'll try to. Give me one second. Let me see if I can switch this Bluetooth, because I think that's the problem. This is the headset that I have that the telephone people use, but it is playing with me today. Let's go ahead, because that's that want to give me trouble. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go. See, we have to do everything that we can do that is the power that God has given us, the authority that God has given us. We got to use it. We got to use it to take care of the light. You might say, well, how can I take care of the light? You see, as we study the word, as we focus on the word of God, darkness is going to try to come in. Darkness is sin. Anything that's not like God is darkness. What happens is it's going to come because why? It wants to distract you. It wants to distract me. It wants us to do things, to be involved with things that don't give God glory. Do you hear me today? So when we begin to study the word, when we begin to fast and prayer, when we begin to do the things that honor God, the light begin to shine. The light of God begin to shine in our lives. This is why some people will come to you and say, man, you're glowing. They tell you, you're glowing. And you wonder what they're saying. They're seeing something now that you can't see for yourself. You ever hear the speech that people outside the house sees more what's going on in the house than the people inside the house? They're looking through the window. You in the house, you don't really see what's going on in the house. Hallelujah. Just like people, stuff going on that is not, we call it kosher in your marriage. And people got to start talking and saying stuff about your marriage. And you in the marriage, you married to that woman, that you married to that man. And you don't realize the stuff that you are causing. But people outside can see it and they'll tell you about it. This is why people go to counsel, go for counseling, even for the, as a Christian, as a believer, people go for counseling. They say they want to talk to a psychiatrist or a counselor, and the counselor begin to sit down and watch them, and they can see everything that's going on in their life. They begin to tell them about the things that are going on. Well, it's the same way with us, you know, carrying the light. People can tell if you really got the light or don't have the light, if you're just making noise. So he says that when they find the pearl, the man sells everything that he had. Everything, because now he believes there's more pearls in the land. You know, he believes there's more pearls in the land, so he sells everything that he has and buy that property. When you understand that you have Jesus living on the inside, which is the light of the world, like we read in the book of John, you want to do everything that's within your power. And look at that. He didn't give me full power. I did those battles, but he just gave me half the power. I didn't have no power just now. But we'll let it sit. Yeah, so we have to do everything. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and then we'll come back here. Matthew chapter 5, glory to God. We're in the New Living Translation. The light of the church cannot be hid. You know, if you're in the church and you have this light that we're talking about, everybody don't have the light. I want you to know that. Everybody don't have the light. Because some people just want so much. They just want so much. It's just like in a relationship. Some people just want so much of the relationship. They don't want all that they can have in the relationship. They say, well, I'm just satisfied that I can spend some quality time with her. I can spend some quality time with him. But I really don't want to be his wife. I really don't want to be her husband. You know, they just want so much. But when you get to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you want more. You want more. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to take this one from verse 14. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. See? You are the light of the world. Hallelujah. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. See, the light makes you important. It makes you recognizable. People see you. They see the glory of God upon your life because you're living. You're not just saying, I got the light. I'm living in the light. I'm walking in the light. You know, we always say that we don't cross every T, we don't dot every I. But we are living in obedience to the voice of God. We always say that if we were perfect, God would have called us. The Father would have called us. He wouldn't have to come out of his own body and become the Son of Man here in the earth realm. He would have sent for us and sent us to go to the cross as we celebrate this Holy Week. I want you to keep your fingers right there in Matthew, and let's go over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Let's see where we are. And verse 15. Paul says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You see, your lifestyle speaks for it. We tell them on Sunday. It says it's not about the word. Yes, in a sense, it's about the word, but we say that in an analogy, people think that because they can preach well and they can use a lot of Hebrew and Greek and Latin and all this stuff, and they can exegete the word, they can parallelize the scriptures. They know from Genesis to Revelation, know how to move the scriptures around to make them match up. They think that that's all it's about, that they have it together. But it's more than just matching up the scriptures, more than just hooping and hollering and spitting and speaking in tongues. Listen to me. It's about living the word, becoming the word. So Paul says that you must be blameless. Hallelujah. You must be harmless. The sons of God. Sons, when he has sons that ask for me, daughters. The sons of God, without rebuke. You know, that body can't come in, and they can't come in and truthfully rebuke you, because why? You're walking in righteousness. You're walking holy. You're living truthfully. You're not a counterfeit. You're not a fake. You understand? So he says, you're in the midst of the world, this crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And this is what he says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. See, this thing that you're doing with expectation. As the light of God, you're living with expectation. You're not just living for people to see you dressed up in your nice suit, your nice three-piece suit, double-breasted suit, and your nice dress all the way down to your ankle. You look real holy. No, you are the holiness of who God said you are, because you're living it. He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Then he went on and said, my favorite scripture, it locked in my spirit. He said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works. See, they may see. He didn't say that they were going to say it. He said they may see. Only those that have eyes to see will see. Those that have ears to hear will hear. There's some people got eyes and got ears that can't see and they can't hear. But he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen to what he says. He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Understand this, that you carrying this light, you're not carrying the light to condemn people, but you're carrying a light that would expose darkness, sin, and cause people to want to be saved. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 7 and the King James Version. Acts chapter 17. Glory to God. I was so tired this morning. Oh, Jesus. And I was laid there on the bed. I said, no, I'm just going to just go on and rest on and get my body together. But I'm not tired anymore. Acts chapter 17. Glory to God. Paul is going everywhere. I mean, after he had that encounter with God, he going everywhere. The same God he was coming against, now he's working for. Can you imagine us playing dice and we gambling and we cussing and fornicating, committing adultery, lying and cheating and all types of stuff. And then God called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light to live for him, to glorify him. He ever thought about it? I know a lot of times I ask him, Lord, why do you call me? I'm nobody. You know why? Because God given you a testimony. God has called you. He enriched you with his spirit. And now God wants you to use that very same spirit to glorify him. That's the light of God that's inside of you. So, you know, there's people that know you and know your past lifestyle. And when they see what's a man, if God can change him, if God can change her, he sure can change me. Because your light is shining. Listen what he says. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down, I come hither also, whom Jason has received, and these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. See, this is the light. You're not called to testify about yourself, but you're called to testify about Jesus. You're called to talk about the true light. Remember John the Baptist said he come to make a way. He come to bear witness of the light. He says, but he was not the light. Understand? We bear witness of the light. That's why the light of the church cannot be hidden. If you truly are in love with Jesus, if you truly is filled with this light, cannot be hidden. Don't matter what you try. Hallelujah. You might run back to the crack house. You might run back to the whole house. But if you have that light, guess what's going to happen? He can draw you back out. Because he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is what God says. Somebody said, well, he was in the church and he went back in the crack house. He was in the whole house and oh man, she gone back. She's selling her body. And then she's back in the church. So you know they're going to talk about her. But guess what? When she come back, she has more power. She gets more power. She get when she come back, when he come back, he gets more power because he get a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. No, he has a super testimony. Not just the first testimony, but now his testimony is expanded. More light. More light. The more light you get, the more authority you will have. Hallelujah. The more authority you will have when you get more light. He says here, listen to me. Glory to God in Acts 17. See, they want Paul and Silas. They want Paul and Silas, but they can't get them. They're gone. And Jason has received them in his home. They say, if you receive a crook in your home, the police going to come and say, where's the man you had in your house? Are we looking for him? We got a warrant to arrest him. But you said the police come on and search. He not here. Well, they're looking for him. Well, it's the same thing. They're looking for Paul and Silas. They're looking for the people. Remember when Peter and John was in jail? They're looking for them. Why? Because they're carrying the good news. You're carrying the good news. The enemy is looking for you, trying to stop you from sharing this good news, because every time you share the good news, you open the eyes to the blind. You unstop the ears to the deaf. Hallelujah. You cause the crippled to want to walk. They said, no, amen. That testimony that you share about Jesus, I am so encouraged. Sunday morning, I was ministering a word to these people. And a lady come to the, she, when I pick up the microphone, the lady comes straight to the altar. Get up and come to the altar. I supposed to pray for everybody. And I begin to pray for her. The Holy Spirit begin to use me in the prophetic tongue. So I start to prophesy. And I begin to, well, not me. I hate to say me. Father, forgive me. But the Holy Spirit begin to tell her stuff about herself. The Holy Spirit began to tell her stuff that I didn't know. And I could feel her vibrating underneath the touch of my hand. So I told her, I said, you know, I don't push people to the ground. If the Holy Spirit wants to slay you, he will slay you. But I'm going to slightly touch you with my fingertips or the palm of my hand. And I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to tell you what thus says the Lord. Next thing I know, one of the pastor's wife had to come, you know, come behind her. Because she wants to go down. Holy Spirit wants to slay her. Wants to slay her. And I could see her trying to fall out. And when one of the pastor's wives come, she ran out. And I was ministering to other people. She was still on the floor. See, this light that's in us is very, very powerful. It's like magnetism. It's like a great magnet. And it draws people. You know, when it wants to slay people, it will slay people. And a lot of people like to push people down the ground, slap people in the forehead and all that kind of stuff. Man, you don't got to do that. If the Holy Spirit wants to put them on the bed and cut them open, he ain't put them on the bed. He want to put them on the floor, you know, and do surgery on them. So when they get up, they have a different mindset. You know, he does surgery on the floor. But people want to push people down. Cause he says here, and they trouble the people. troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. See, they were preaching about Jesus. They were preaching about Jesus, telling people about Jesus, about the light of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus, keep your finger there. I hear you. I hear the word of God. It is so powerful. It is so powerful. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus is so awesome. Hallelujah, glory to God. And when you get to know him, because, you know, people get excited. They say, I know Jesus, I know. But they really know him, they know of him. You know, I was going to the church and I was doing stuff and doing this and helping on the church, but I really didn't know him. Apostle, I really didn't know him. Jesus says in John 8 and 12, he says, then spake Jesus again unto them and saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And what John says in John chapter 1, shall have the light of life. See, when you have this light, have Jesus living on the inside, you got life. You have life. Understand this. It's not what's in your pocket. It's not what's in your bank book. It's what is in your spirit, man. Hallelujah. What's in your spirit, man? You know, they got a commercial that says, what is in your bank book? What is in your pocket or something like that? And I said, nothing. Nothing in my pocket. Jesus says, as long, John chapter 9 and 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. So Jesus says that you are in the world, but not of the world. So now you ought to recognize who you are. Hallelujah. Because as long as he is inside of you, you're carrying the light of God. You're carrying him on the inside. The Bible, he says here, and when they had taken security of Jason, in other words, they arrest Jason, put him in jail. This is Acts chapter 17, verse 9. And of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who's coming thither into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. This was the Berean church. The Berean Christians, they heard Paul and Silas ministering in the synagogue, and they received the word with gladness. But they searched the scriptures daily to see if they were so. You know, if what they were saying was lined up with the scripture. They weren't just hearers of the word. They were doers of the word. They seek out the word, search out the word to see what they were saying. Go to Acts chapter 26. I'm in the King James Version. You know, I'm laying down here today. Not my senses didn't bother me at all. Yesterday, as soon as I leave here and I get to the church, there's a church building, my sinus went off crazy like a river. And I don't really have a cold. So I'm going to have to ask the doctor when I go back if this is still like this. Why is this? If he got something, some kind of antibiotics or something, to stall this thing. In Acts chapter 26, verse 26, King knoweth of these things, before whom also I spake freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For these things was not done in a corner. Hallelujah, glory to God. These things were not hidden in a corner. These things were spoken plainly. Paul now was before the court. You understand? He was before the court. And they were questioning Paul. But Paul allowed him to know he's ministering about Christ Jesus. And he talking to the king. Look, you all know. You know this thing. This is not, this wasn't hidden from you. Hallelujah. You know of the light of the world. You know that Jesus was crucified. You know that he died on that cross. You know that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day. You know all this. This is not, oh my Lord. And this is what he said. Listen. But when Paul had appeared to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. But watch this, this is going on. And as tomorrow, the next day, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, they were excited, and was entered into the place of hearing, the courtroom, the judgment hall, with the chief captains and principal men of the city. At Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself has appealed to Augustus Caesar, I have determined to send him to Caesar, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. See, the cause Caesar Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. Said, I brought him before you so that after you examine him and hear what he's saying, I might have something to write to Caesar. Because he can't find no fault. Paul is preaching about Jesus. He's preaching the truth. So these Roman governors and government, they can't find no fault. Just like Jesus, when he was before Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. I don't find a reason to kill this man. And he asked them, who do you want? Barabbas or Jesus? They said, give me Barabbas. Barabbas was a killer. He was a thief. He was all these things that you would say. But they wanted Jesus. He says, for it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not withal to signify the crimes of laid upon him. See, they make up stories when you are preaching Jesus, when you are living Jesus, when your life shows the light of heaven here on earth, folk can come against you. Even some family members, even some co-workers, even some friends. Here in 26, Acts 26, let's go back in here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, Paul is writing, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw the way. I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I sent thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. See, this light of Christ Jesus, once you really get it, it illuminates you. It changes you from the inside. Paul said that he saw a light that was above the brightness of the sun. Imagine when Jesus comes and the Bible said we shall see him as he is. We're going to have spiritual eyes, because we're not going to be able to look on him with these natural eyes. That's why we have to live a changed life. Live a life that glorifies God. Colossians chapter 1. I'm telling you something. I want to see him. I don't know about you all, but I want to see him. And I want to see him as he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the creator, as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, Jesus, help us this day, Lord. Help us to be a witness of you. Hallelujah. Verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of afflictions of Christians in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mysteries which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints. See, this thing that's been hidden for generations is now made manifest. You can taste the presence of the Lord. You can feel his presence. You can hear his voice speaking to you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. See, this light inside of you, my brother, my sister, when you get this light inside of you, you know that it's there. You react different. You treat people different. You are different. Your walk, your talk, everything is different. When your boss man talks to you unseemly, you don't rebuttal because you know who you are and whose you are. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We're talking about the light of the church cannot be hidden. See, if you have the light of Christ Jesus, that's the light of the church. Not the lights on the wall, not those neon lights, the black lights in Alcott Church got the black lights now, and they got the dry eyes coming of smoke. That's not the light. If you have the light of Christ in you, you are the church. And the light cannot be hidden. How do you know that, Apostle? Because if you have the light, you always want to tell somebody about Jesus. Every opportunity that you get, you want to tell somebody. And if you don't use that opportunity to tell somebody, you're convicted because you may have missed the soul. I know that. It happened to me recently. And I had an opportunity to share Jesus. And I got so caught up in the conversation that I missed sharing Jesus. And he convicted me. See, you had a chance. You had a chance to tell that man about me. But you didn't. You know. And I pray the Lord said, never let this happen to me again. Matthew chapter 10. We're talking about the light that's inside of you, inside of me. Verse 22. Well, let's start at verse, my Lord Jesus. Let's start at verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the city wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. In other words, God began to accuse them. He began to accuse them because they all had sinned. But they believed that they had it together. They didn't want to repent. You know, you have some believers, I like to say so-called believers. They're part of the church. They attend church every time the doors are open. And they know that they live in a double standard. In other words, they're doing things that they ought not be doing. And God allowed them. He allowed them to do things. He allowed us to do things that we shouldn't be doing. This is what God does. He don't put spiritual handcuffs on you and say, well, don't go sleep with that woman. Don't go sleep with that man. Don't go smoke that reefer. Don't go get drunk. Don't cuss. He don't put shackles. He don't put a muzzle on your mouth. He gave you a free will. But eventually what he does is through his word, through some preacher or teacher, a prophetess, you would hear a word that would convict you, and you feel like they're talking to you. You feel like they're talking to you. They're telling you a story where you rejected Christ and didn't do what he said to do. You know? So here he starts to accuse them. He said, woe unto the Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethesda, the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. At the day of judgment, than for you. See, when you hear the truth, when you know the truth, Evangelist Brown always said, where you know the truth, when you know better, you do better. You see, when you hear the word every day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but you're hearing the word every day, God gives us something for us. He gives us something that we need, but we don't submit and commit. Go to Matthew 24. We got to make sure that we are living this thing, doing this thing. I had a couple came over here a couple of weeks now, and they come over here for counseling. And I spent a lot of time counseling with them and giving them from what God had given me for them. They're a young couple, maybe two or three years married. And they were on the verge of going to the courthouse and getting a letter of divorce from the court. But I began to talk to them, and they both know Jesus. They're saved. See, the devil don't care if you're saved or not saved. His job is to do to you the same thing he did to Adam and Eve, deceive you. Hallelujah. And after speaking with them and spending some quality time, I give them some instructions, some things to work on. Well, the lady sent me a message, and she says, I thank you so much, Apostle. She said, this has been the best week we had in a long time. And I was praising God because I know it's not me, it's him. See, I'm yielded to him. Hallelujah. One lady last night from North Carolina, South Carolina, South Carolina. And she was inboxing me. She said I've sent her a license at the prophetess about 8 years ago or more. And she just got a license in the church. She was studying something for counseling. Now she want to get a doctorate degree. Sure, she was boasting and seeing stuff on Facebook about how she's going to get her doctorate degree in the whole works. Well, you know, I have so many opportunities. Even want to give me an honorary doctorate degree, you know. And I'm going for it because it's not about how much paper you can get to put on the wall. I like to say it's about how much you can get in your heart. You know, every time somebody get one paper, and they get a doctorate, you know, people say, well, they say they're bishop. Then they want to become an archbishop. They say they're apostle. Then they want to be a chief apostle. The only chief apostle is Jesus. Even Paul said he was the least among the apostles. He's not even worthy to be called apostle. But the people never satisfied. They think, well, if you call me chief apostle, I get more respect if I become a chief apostle. If I get a doctorate degree, people will look at me different. But you're not living a doctor. You're not living. Dr. Luke was a doctor of theology. He lived that thing out. I mean, you look all through the book, he leaves that thing out. He lived. You look in the book of Acts, and you can see Dr. Luke. You know, these people would live in that stuff. But folk today, they want to be. And then when they get the doctorate degree, they're standing on Facebook with the plaque in front of their hand. I got a lot in my house. I never take them, put them on Facebook. Never put them on Facebook. Because, you know, people look, when you start to boast on who you are and not whose you are, people looking, they're looking at you like they're FBI or CIA. They watch you that way because they want to catch you on a mistake so they can talk about you. But when you live this stuff, man, they say, man, every time I see you, they're still going to talk about you. Because remember, Jesus was holy. He was a righteous man, God in the flesh. And they talked about them so much that they put him on a cross, hang him on a cross, nail him and pierce him and crown him. So they can talk about you if you do good, and they can talk about you if you do bad. But let them talk about you if you do good. Don't do bad. Don't do bad. So he says here, Matthew 24 and 9, Jesus speaking, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted or beat, whipped, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. See, when you walk in the light, you're going to be hated. This is a powerful book because this Jesus talks about. He talks about the end, how the end is going to come, what is going to happen before the end. Jesus talks about it in this book. But we are talking about the light of the church cannot be hidden. The light of the church cannot be hidden. How do you know that? It's in you. If you have the light of the of Christ Jesus inside you. John told you that. Told you that in 1 John, in John chapter 1. If you have the light of God inside you, dwelling in you, it cannot be hidden. See, the light makes you excited. It stimulates you on the inside. You are filled with the word of God. Because remember, the word has the light. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So when you have the light of God, Jesus Christ inside, dwelling on the inside of you, you excited, man. I mean, soon you get, you want to, I had a friend, she's still alive, Helen Laura, white lady, back in Virginia. She always called me Rev. Every time she said, Rev, what are you doing? Put her air conditioning, her house, central air conditioning. Did a lot of stuff in the house for her. And I tell her I don't charge her. She said, no, I got to give some money. Every time you meet her, she's older, much older than me. She's about 85 or 89, something around there now. But if you meet her, I don't care if it's nighttime, daytime. I care if it's snowing, if it's sun, it's raining. Anytime she was, I met her at a house. I went to do the, I went to prep the house for sale. You know, to tell the, when you have to go in and do, check out everything and make sure everything, the faucets, the toilet, everything's working proper. The drains are open because I was working for this company that, at that time that they did a lot of real estate work. And she was the real estate agent. So she met me at the house. And we get in there. As soon as I got in there, she didn't know who I was. All of a sudden, she started talking about Jesus. Well, we had church. We were the church, but we had, like people said, we had church in that house. Didn't take that house long to sell because we had church in that house. And Helen is the kind of person, wherever you meet her, she used to go down to the YMCA. She go down to the course. She didn't have a pool at the house. She had a big house. That was a big house. Her husband worked for the CIA, and he retired. But we were brothers and sisters. I'd go over there and have prayer service at her house. People come and stuff. But when she go to the Y, she liked to go to the Y in the morning. And the people went and said, here she comes. They would say it, here she comes. Because they know when she comes, when she get there, she going to tell them about Jesus. And don't care if you snuff her out, she's still going to tell you. She's going to keep telling you about Jesus. Why? Because this woman is filled with the light of God. Filled with the light. Filled with the light. When you have this light, you are the church. You can't hide it. This is what the Lord gave me this year, yesterday after I came home. He gave me this topic. And the scriptures. The light of the church cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. Even when you're feeling bad on the inside, all of a sudden, you start to regurgitate the word. You may start singing a song like Elder comes on, he sings. You may start, testifying because of the light. You know, every time I go to church sometime, and people testifying. And, you know, I tell the Lord, speaking to the Lord, I say, Lord, I'm not going to testify today. I'm not going to, like I'm in control. You know, you do it too. I said, Lord, I'm not going to respond today. I'm not going to say nothing. I know the pastor want me to share my testimony. He want me to tell him what you have done. And I said, I'm going to say nothing. But the Lord is so genuine and so awesome, so loving, that he had let me sit in that seat until he pricked my heart. What will happen is that somebody going to share testimony that going to really prick my heart. And I've experienced it so many times. I said, well, you know what? I would sit here and I said I wasn't going to share. But after Sister So-and-so shared her testimony, I got to tell you what Christ has done for me. Because the light is burning on the inside. It's a 120-watt bulb. You know them fog lights up there? They're like 120 and 220. That's why they lit up your whole backyard. You got one bulb. It light up the whole backyard and the neighbor's yard too. Well, that's what the light on the inside of the church. Not the building, because you the church. When that light starts to burn, you got to tell somebody something. Some people don't like to say nothing. They feel they're affecting the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, the prophetess. But you're not affecting the prophet. You see, because the prophet light is burning. The prophet's light is burning. Hallelujah. And it's burning bright. Go to John chapter 16. I just want to put a little something here on here. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Calvary. I believe that the Lord want me to put something on here. The old sermon, he want me to put something on here for this Holy Week. So I'm going to put something on here tomorrow. Okay, so John 16, St. John, some people say, you got to say St. John. But John 16 and 2, listen to what Jesus says. Well, let's hit it from verse 1. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. See, Jesus preparing you, preparing us in the word for offensives. Listen to me. You know what messed me up about Jesus? I love him so much that he didn't prepare us for joy. Do you know that? God of our salvation did not prepare us for joy. He said, in this world you will have tribulations, but remember I overcome. You're going to have tribulation. You want everything to be okie-dokie for you because you're a preacher, you're a Christian, because you play the keyboard, because you play the drums, because you're always there in the church. You're the pastor pet. Anything the pastor wants done, you're right there. So why should you be going through this? Somebody said, well, why you have to have all these surgeries? If you're so holy, if you're so righteous, why did Jesus go to the cross? He's God. You understand? Can I compare with him? Can I compare to him? But the Father said, put him to the cross. For my sins and your sins, all transgressions, all iniquity. But soon as we get a little pain, little something happens, well, the boss said, look, I'm taking away 2 days from you. You can't come to, don't come to work for 2 days. I just got to make some adjustments because we're not making a lot of money now. We're not getting a lot of calls. How am I going to pay my rent, God? How am I going to pay my car payment? How am I going to? You start telling God that God don't know you have all of these things. Tell him in the church on Sunday, says, I'm 62. I don't know the long way. I retired. Because everybody that I went to here in Boston said I had too much experience. Back in Virginia, I had my own business. Because I have a master degree. And the people here would tell me, they look, oh, yeah, you well qualified. Oh, we can use you in our company. And now I said, we're going to get back. And you know when you hear people say they're going to get back in touch with you? You know they ain't getting back in touch with you. Very seldom. So they would tell me, we'll get, but then they said, well, we hired so-and-so. Why? Because they know they got to pay me big money for my experience, for my skill. But they don't want to pay me big money. So I told my wife, I'm just going to retire. Put a lot into Social Security. Let me get a check from Social Security. I just said, and then if somebody called the house, as soon as I get really fit, my body feels good, but I win on the inside, you know, till I feel it on the inside, know it on the inside. People can call this carpenter, contractor that he's a deacon at the church. He gets a lot of work, and he usually call me and stuff. And I have another African-American that own a lot of property. He's a millionaire. He owns a lot of properties. They call me for everything that he got. But right now, I can't do that too much, you know. I know I could, but, you know, I don't want to press myself. You know, I got to use wisdom. Here he says, Jesus speaking, he says, they shall put you out of the synagogues, out of the church building. Yeah, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Remember when Paul was going and arresting all the Christians and stuff and putting them away? He thought he was doing God's service until he had his encounter. Remember we talked about that this morning? When he had his encounter on the road to Damascus. And he said that he had this light. He was talking to King Agrippa. He saw this light that had the brightness above the sun. In other words, the light of God was brighter than the sun. You know, the sun can't be brighter than him. He made the sun. Glory to God. And he gives this light to us on the inside, shining on the inside. He said, all these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. See, Jesus telling them to stop. Hallelujah. Preparing them. We can look back and see all the stuff that happened. They're coming after the Christians now. I mean, like never before. They're spraying stuff all over the church building, over the pastor's car. They're stabbing some pastors, shooting some pastors. All this stuff is happening. You know, the pastor was down south a month or two ago. They came in the parking lot trying to steal one of parishioners' church cars, and the pastor go and tried to stop the two young men. Two young men. They didn't say if they were black or yellow, but they said two young men. And one of the young men shot the pastor in his mouth. He's still alive. And one of the things that the parishioner said that, oh my God, pastor shot in his mouth, and pastor said he would always said he was not afraid of death. And they shot him in his mouth. He's bleeding. Blood is pouring out of him. They come and got him, and he's still alive. Because when we were talking about him, they said he was in the hospital. He's critical, but he's alive. God said you got to prepare for all that kind of stuff. Where you go, you got to go in faith. When you step out of your house, when you need to go to work, you got to go in faith, having the full arm of God on. Don't wait till you get in the car. Don't wait till you get on the motorcycle. Pray in the house. Spend 5 minutes exalting and magnifying God, thanking him for your soul. And say, Lord, if I have to leave this world today, I pray that I'll be with you, that you will lift me up to be with you. I give you my soul, that if I die today, Lord God, I'll be in your presence. Don't be afraid, because you can't live in this realm forever. Listen to me. Regardless if you tell God or don't tell him, you cannot live in this realm. Let's say it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We cannot live in this realm. This is realms. This is the earth realm. We cannot live in the earth realm forever. At some point in time, you may die 7, 75, 76, 100. But you can't live here forever. But how you live here, how you live in this realm will make the difference in what other realm you end up in. Because you can end up in the heavenly realm, or you can end up in the satanic realm, in hell. Depends on how you live. Jesus said this, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And now, and none of you ask of me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Jesus has told them, look, I'm going to die. I'm going to die this horrible death. I must be lifted up from the earth so all men can be drawn to me. See, that people talk that when it says lift up, it says sing, lift up Jesus higher. No, he's lifted up on the cross. That's what he's talking about. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He had to be lifted up on the cross. I had to die on that cross for your sins, my sins. And then we'll drawn to him by the Spirit through the prayer of salvation, through repentance, believing in what he done on the cross. He says here, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. You're sorry. They're sorrowful because they're enjoying the presence of God. They see the miracles that he has done. See, because miracles is over now. His miracles he has done. And he preparing them for his death. You know, you can have a son, you can have a friend that's walking with you all day long. And say for instance, they murder somebody. Just say, Jesus didn't murder anybody. But I'm using this analogy so you'll get the point. say they murdered somebody and they was in jail for some time. And you go to visit them from time to time. But one time they keep saying, well, you know, next week I'm going to be on the execution table. Pay you for when they've been electrocuted or in the gas chamber, however they be executed. And what happened is that a sorrow comes over you because, you know, even though he's behind the bar, she's behind the bar, she's your friend. You're ready them to be out where you can go and fellowship together, hang out together. But you know they're not coming out because the crime that they have done. Jesus didn't do any crime. But he must die. But this is why he came to the earth. Hallelujah. And somebody have to betray him to the ones who are going to kill him. Somebody got to do that job. Somebody said, well, why he was walking with and eating and drinking and with Judas, and Judas kissed him and then betray him. No, this had to be happened. So the scripture would be fulfilled. You know, so they all got sorrowful. Jesus already see the sorrow in the face. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient I must go for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. See, Jesus loves us so much that he sends us help when he is not with us. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit is our helper. That's why when you feel like doing something that is contrary to the word of God, to the commandments, to the statutes, to the laws of God, you hear this very still voice talk. You think it's not you talking, it's him talking. He says, son, don't do that. And then sometimes he come up and say, look, that's who the old you was. You don't have to rebuttal up because they're talking to you that kind of way. You know, some folks says, I had a preacher used to come on here, and the preacher just says, oh, these people talk to me. The people talk to me, and they talk to me real bad, and I have to give them a piece of my mind. And every time somebody talk, they say, I got to give them a piece of my mind. I said, well, that's the reason why you act so crazy. Because you keep giving away a piece of your mind. Now your mind is so messed up, you know, fragile. You're in pieces. But I ain't giving nobody a piece of my mind. You know, if the way you're reacting don't suit me, I just say, bye-bye, see you later. But I'm not jumping down and cussing up with you and all that kind of stuff to prove a point. For what? Because I'm different. I'm the light. If you acting that way, that means that you're still full of darkness. That means you're still full of darkness. You got to make some adjustments. Jesus says, the Comforter will not come until he leaves. He said, and when he is come, he will reprove or bring correction to the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they believe not on me. See, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You see, the prince of this world is still living. His spirit is living and dwelling in some of the people of the world. So they have to be judged. That's why you hear me saying from time to time, I don't want to meet my Savior as a judge. I want to meet him as a king. As the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want to meet him as my Father. It's a difference. People, you got to watch how you speak. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it, to eat the fruit of. Speak positive over your life, over the situation that you're dealing with. If your wife is acting, say, Father, I just thank you. My wife, she's great. She's a great woman, Father. I thank you for her. I thank you that the things she does pleases you. You got to call those things that be not as though they were. So how can I pray that when she's acting silly or he's acting silly? Because you're calling that thing out of darkness. You got to call light out of darkness. If you're in agreement with darkness, darkness will stay around all the time. called over to God. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You want to call it. John 13 and 35. Let's see what it says. Then Jesus said unto them, a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You hear what he said? He let them know he's with them now because he's the light of the world. But I'm leaving. You know, we just read that in 16. In 13, he said that he's going to be leaving. Clearly. And I want you to walk a certain way. Get the understanding that you need while I'm with you. Because when darkness comes and I'm not with you, you're not going to be able to bear darkness. But when you get the understanding, what happens is, it's the light of understanding enters you. Hear what I'm saying? The light of understanding enters you. Jesus is the light of understanding. Remember we said that in John chapter 1, that light was in the world and the world did not comprehend it. You've got to get the understanding of the light that's in you. Comprehend what the light is. Hallelujah. He said, while you have little light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. See, you got to really, really cherish the light. You got to cherish Psalm 27. I'm coming on in 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When you have the light of God living and dwelling on the inside of you, fear don't have no place. Fear don't have no place to rest. Remember, fear is a spirit. But you need the light of God. We need the light of God on the inside of us. The Bible said he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We need the light of God dwelling on the inside of us so that we can deal with every situation that's around us. We can deal with every situation. Even when your husband acting up, you can deal with it. Because you know how to make a silent prayer. You don't even have to open your mouth. God hears the silent prayer. You can pray silent for your wife. Pray silent for your husband. You don't got to run off the house and start saying, Lord, I'm my shepherd, I shall not want. And no weapon form against me shall prosper. You don't have to go over the house jumping like that. Because you're going to make the situation even worse. Your husband or your wife going to really think that you're really acting up against them. Make a prayer silent. Pray for your husband silent. Pray for your kids silent. Pray for your brother or sister silent while they're acting unseemly. And see God move. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. There's one scripture we want to put up there. Oh, the Lord. Let's see what the Lord says. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. I can't help. I just remember. But Elder said yesterday that the pastor. That just came to me and made me laugh, Elder. You said the pastor tell her. Preach so hard and told the people, I want you all to study Mark chapter 17 and bring points on next week. I think this covered my spirit. I just covered my spirit. I just made me laugh. And the people came in. I ran the pastor, asked them where they study to show their hands. And all them people lift up their hand that they have studied Mark chapter 17. Isaiah chapter 90, verse 2. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shine. Now, looking at this verse, And you see that people were part of the house of the Lord. People were already part of the house. They were part, they have shared in the light of God. This is what the Bible says. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. The devil is not light, the devil is darkness. So they have seen the light of God. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shine. They have multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Their joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divided the spoil, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confusion, noise, and garments roll in blood. But this shall be with burning and fluid of fire. And then he went on and talked about Jesus. When we see the light, we got to operate knowing who we are and whose we are as children of the light. Psalm 97:11. Don't walk like you don't know. Know that you know that you know that you know that you are a child of the light. 97. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Hear what the psalmist says. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. He said, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks and remembrance of his holiness. This is what God wants, man. When you have the light of the Lord inside of you. I mean, when you know that the light is, because some people have the light and don't know they have the light. They don't know they have the light. Now, what the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And he's not talking about the dirt out there. You the land. Now people see that, say, well, the land ought to be making a joyful noise. No, the land is not talking you. You know, I know he's talking about us because the Bible says he reached down and he formed man out of the dust of the earth. He's talking to you, to me, to us. Go to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, we are almost there. Church is going to be filled all this week. Sunday morning, Friday night, everybody want to talk about Jesus, the cross, the seven last words from the cross. And Sunday morning, they want to talk about the resurrection. And after that, they forget. They forget the cross, they forget the blood that was shed at the cross. You ought to talk about the cross every day. You ought to mention the blood every day. Jesus ought to be on your lips. Exodus chapter 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 21, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Dude, that's some heavy darkness. Even darkness that might be felt. You know, darkness is like a cloud. But it's going to be so heavy, saith the Lord, that Pharaoh and the Egyptians are going to be able to feel darkness resting upon them. And Moses stretched forth, verse 22, stretched forth his hand towards heaven, And there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Verse 23 says, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place. They didn't leave their homes for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Do you hear that? All the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. These are the people of God. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. You understand me today? And the light of God is with you. Go to 2 Samuel. Glory to God. 2 Samuel. That's your name. Chapter 23. Yes. And he shall be as the light of the morning, verse 4. When the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord lights up the earth. He lights up the earth. He lights up the soul of man. Understand it. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you allow us to release today. And thank you for those that were able to get on here today and hear the word. We ask you, O God, to continue to bless us, bless them, bless the people in Africa and India and China and Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq and Iran, Syria, Egypt, O God, Turkey, Palestine. Oh, mighty God, we pray for Israel, we pray for Jerusalem, pray for the prime ministers, pray for London, England, pray for France, Germany, we pray for Amsterdam, Poland, Brazil, all the Caribbean islands, Windward and Leeward Islands, we pray for Mexico, pray for every state in the United States of America, Lord God, we pray for the governments, the mayors and the oh, God, and the governors. We pray, Father God, for the senators, the House of Representatives, Lord. Oh, God, we pray for the Supreme Court Justice Department. Lord, all nation is in trouble. We are in deep trouble, oh, God. And, Father, if you don't show up in the midst of this storm, this hurricane, this earthquake, this tsunami, this tornado that we are facing, God, there will be no more America. We will be just like a third world banana country. We ask you, God, to touch these men and these women that are in authority. And Lord, all they're concerned about themselves. Somebody was saying that they're building bunkers all over. They say they maybe even have bunkers in your cities. But Father, we recognize and we know that bunkers cannot shut your presence out. Because the thickest wall, regardless if it's made of concrete or steel, you are still able to walk through it, Lord. The disciples was in the room, in a house, just talking, and they were afraid because they thought that the Roman government would come and arrest them and put them all them to death while they had taken you. But you showed up. You came right through the wall. To their amazement, they recognize it was you. We pray today, Lord, that you come through the walls of our lives. And Lord, that you bring manifestation of change, that you envelop us into who you would have us to be. Father, we pray your forgiveness. We pray your mercy upon our lives, upon our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, upon our friends and associates. We pray your mercy and grace, Lord. We ask for forgiveness. We repent of every thought, every word, every action that we may have done, known or not known, oh God. Father, we ask you to save that lost soul today, that soul that does not know you as Lord and Savior, as the one who went to the cross and laid down your life. You said no one took your life, but you laid down that you can take it back at any time. Lord, I just thank you for this day. And I ask you that if there's anyone out there in computer land that don't know Jesus, just repent right where you are. Jesus said, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Paul says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. People jump off when they hear the prayer of salvation. We thank God. If you call on him right now in repentance, you will receive the gift of salvation. Just say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Yes, you are in need of a Savior. I invite you in my heart right now, Lord Jesus. I denounce Satan and all of his agents, and I come to you just as I am. If you just said that prayer and you believe in your heart, you just received the gift of salvation. Now get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you have a gospel understanding of this Jesus that we preach and teach about every day. And then I want you to call a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name. And tell them you receive a gift of salvation, you want to be baptized. And right then and then, before you're baptized, you call your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, right? Because you want witnesses to the greatest time of your life. Hallelujah. And we say that you're going down in a liquid grave. And that liquid grave says that you belong to Jesus. Jesus is with you. And you're coming back about that liquid grave with Jesus. And when you come back out that grave, make sure that you find a church that is teaching and preaching the gospel. That's the kind of church you want to be in. And get yourself involved in ministry. So I thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation. Those that will receive the gift at another time. And I pray God continue to strengthen you. In Jesus' holy name. God bless you. The line is now open. I don't want to talk anymore. The line is open. Open for anyone that want to give God praise, honor, and glory. Line is open.
I want to give him praise today. I just want to thank you for the word today, Calvin, Mr. Calvin. It was real good today.
Thank you, sir.
It's helping me through my growth, my walk. So I just want to thank you, and I keep praying for you. You keep praying for me, and
amen.
You know. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, my friend, my brother. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank him for you that you're able to get on here when you get on here.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond. If not, we're going to pray, and we're going to get out of here. Because we did what the Lord says to do. And that's all you can do, is what the Lord says to do. There was other people on the line, and after they hear the word, they jump off. But we thank the Lord.
God gave us the light of the world.
Oh, my God gave us the light. The light of the world. Oh, our God gave us the light, light of the world, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, Jesus, he's the light, he's the light of the world. Yes, our Jesus, he's the light. He's the light of the world. I'm so glad today that Jesus, he's the light. He's the light of the world. I'm gonna let him shine. Let him shine, let him shine. Let me tell you today, oh, my Jesus gave us the light. Yeah, and I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, our Jesus gave us the light. Oh, we need to let that light shine. Oh, my Jesus gave us the light. And I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, let it shine, yeah. Let it shine. Let it shine. And oh, need the light. Oh, let your light shine. Oh, yeah, everybody need the light. You need to let your light shine. And oh, Lord, everybody need the light. Hey, and I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, oh, let it shine. Oh, let me tell you, oh, that my Jesus, he's the light, he's the light of the world. Anybody here know that Jesus is the light? He's the light of the world. Oh, my Jesus, he's the light. He's the light of the world. I'm gonna let my light shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Thank you, Apostle Kavanaugh. God bless everyone on the line, and God bless you. I enjoy that, folks. Jesus is the light. And if he's the light, we should let him shine from us so someone can see that we are walking right. You know, it's all right to talk a good talk, but is you walking that good talk? So I thank God for you and your family and everyone on the line. And I pray that God bless everyone on the line abundantly. And thank you, Apostle, for letting me sing.
Oh, to God be the glory. Thank you, brother. To God be the glory for all that he has done. Oh, what wonderful works he did. We just bless the Lord. We praise the Lord for you, for Brother Mark, Brother Minister Jones, Pastor Stewart. We thank God for you all, and we ask God to bless each and every one of us. That's what we ask in the Lord, to bless all of us, because we know he loves us. We know that he cares for us. And without him, there would be no us. So we thank the Lord. We constantly praising him and glorifying him and exalting him. Because he is the only one that really worthy of exaltation. You know, when it's all said and done, it's all about him. It's all about the Lord, all about the Savior, all that he has done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do for us if we trust and believe. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We thank you for that wonderful song that the elders sound. We thank you, Father God, for doing for us always what we can't do for ourselves. Lord, we recognize that we are nothing without you. But as we continue to walk with you, God, we become more and more like you, having the very same characteristics that you have. We ask you, God, to bless us. Bless us, anoint us, and appoint us, and continue to send us forth, O God, with the light, O God. We pray that the light would continue to rest upon us, O God, as we go forth. O Lord, Lord, we ask for compassion, O God. We ask for mercy. We ask for grace, Lord. But Lord, we are only asking for what we are determined to give to extend to others, O God. We want to extend love, compassion, mercy, and grace, O God. We have to be ready, O God, to forgive, O God. We are ready, O God, and willing to forgive our brothers and sisters that wrong us, O God. We are ready to ask for forgiveness for those that we wrong. Lord, we pray today that you bless Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart in their workings. And Lord, we pray for blessings over Brother Mark and the elder and Lord, the Minister Jones and Prophetess Kersey. Lord, we pray for blessings for, O God, and protection, healing, for Apostle Linda Washington and Bishop James Washington. Lord, we ask you to continue to watch over them. Keep them safe and secure in the endeavor to do what this says the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this Blog Talk Church ministry, Lord God, that we are reaching people all over the world. People are going in and preachers, they've got preachers asking me to send new pictures. They want pictures of me. You know, I say they don't really need a picture of me. You need a picture of God. Just get God in your heart. Get him in your heart. Hallelujah. But we just thank God. We praise God for all that's going on. I ask you all to pray for this country. While you're praying for me and I'm praying for you, let's pray for our country, because things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse before they get better. Hallelujah. But we have to lift up this country. Yes, take it before the throne. Take it before the throne of grace. Father, we ask for blessings now. Bless us. Bless us in the city and bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We ask, O God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, O God. Lord, we ask for the blessing, not so that we can be braggadocious or we can feel that we're more important than somebody else because we have the funds. Lord, we are asking, O God, for the funds to be released for us, that we can help those that are less fortunate than us, that we can help the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, and the orphans, O God. We ask you, Father God, that these funds come, God, that we will do great work for the kingdom, Lord. Lord, we pray for every pastor, every apostle, every bishop, every evangelist, and every teacher, every prophet and prophetess, Lord God. We pray today, God, that you would touch the church, O God, and that you would open the hearts and minds of the church, O God, that it will become the church, O God, that it will be a church without spot and without blemish, O God, that when you come back for your bride, she will be ready. She will be in the right apparel, O God, that she would dress, O God, in righteousness. She will be dressed in holiness. We pray today in the name of Jesus, O God, that you continue to protect us, O God. Shield us, O God, when we go out, and shield us when we are returning home. In the mighty name of Jesus, protect the streets, O God. Protect our streets, the people on the streets, the prostitutes, O God. O God, the gangbangers, O God, the dope pushers, O God, the homosexuals. Protect them, Lord. Lord, speak to their hearts, O God, that they might say, I need to be saved, O God. Because you said, Lord Jesus, that you came to seek and to save that which is lost. We all were lost till you found us in darkness, and you drew us out by your Spirit, O God. Not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. We pray now, God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today into somebody's ear gate that would make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. See, the thing is that he wants people to see who he is in us. The light must be shining all times. Not when we feel like. You know, some of us will put on the light when we get to the church building. Some of us will put on the light when we get on our jobs because we want to look holier than thou. But he wants the light to shine all the time. That people know that you're not fake, but you're real because your light is constantly shining. It's shining because you want somebody to see God. Not see you, see God. I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you that push your way in. And Brother Mark, I pray God continue to strengthen you because we all need to be strengthened. I need to be strengthened each day. All of us need to be strengthened in the things of the Lord. So as the enemy coming in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard for us. And we need to be strengthened. Now, I thank God for you all so much. I bless the Lord for you. And I pray that God continue to strengthen you all. Until we meet again tomorrow, tell somebody, invite somebody to come and fellowship with us. You know, we can never have enough people on the line. Some days the line is full, some days it's half full, but we can never have enough people on the line. We want people to come on in and hear the word of God. You know, because when we get home, we want him to say, well done. These folk over here, they're some of the folk that you minister to. That we want the Father to say, these are some of the folks that you minister to. And they're here. They're here before the throne because you minister to them. We're not making jokes. We're serious about this soul winning stuff. You know, I want my body to get right. So I can travel again. and preach and teach in different nations. But you know, the Lord is doing it, so I'm just going to wait on him. I'm not going to push him. I'm not going to try to move ahead of him. I'm just going to wait on him because I know he's doing a great work in me. And I thank him and I praise him and he connect me with some good people. Because you are good people. Don't let nobody say nothing about you. You are good people. And the Lord is pleased with you, okay? I will see you all tomorrow if the Lord say the same. I'm very dehydrated now, so I'm going to get something to drink. God bless you all. Have a blessed and safe day. In Jesus' name, amen.